When we think of vacation, we think happy thoughts, relaxation, exploration, new experiences, and a break from the grind of our everyday lives. We don't think of extreme violence and death, obviously, but for three European tourists when they visited Toronto in September 2006, that's exactly what they found. It was a bloody disaster. Let's find out what happened. I'm Andrew Kitchen, and I'm with co-host Farouk Adu.
Hi.
And Gurleen Buttar.
Hello.
Welcome to Six Murders. On this podcast, we will be exploring six murders
over 6 weeks,
all of which took place in the six.
These are some of Toronto's highest profile and most notorious cases. Buckle up, let's dive in. On September 11th, 2006, Detective Sergeant Steve Ryan was called to investigate a homicide at Toronto's largest hotel, the Delta Chelsea, on the corner of Yonge Street and Girard. When he stepped out of the elevator on the 19th floor, it was like a scene out of a Stephen King novel. Crimson smears decorated the walls. A trail of blood led down the hallway, and bloody handprints were painted all around the elevator buttons, above them, below them, all around them, but he had missed the buttons. Only minutes before, hotel guests said they saw a naked, bleeding man run from his hotel room and collapse in the hallway just in front of the elevator. That man died where he lay. Detective Sergeant Ryan followed the trail of blood to room 1908. What he found inside made his stomach turn.
There was so much blood, you could hardly see the walls. Detective Ryan said that in his entire career investigating homicides, this was the bloodiest scene he had ever encountered. It was on the ceiling, it was in the bathroom, there were pools of it on the floor. It was everywhere. The room had two double beds with white sheets. The far one painted entirely red. Just inside the door, Detective Ryan found a female body wearing a nightgown with a knife through her chest. The knife had been plunged so violently that it pierced through her chest, out through her back, and into the hotel floor. Police locked down the hotel. No one was allowed in or out. At this point, police believe the killer may still be in the building. They started to sweep the hotel and question the other guests.
The knife was a Swiss Army multi-tool 13-centimeter blade with André Oschwanden's name engraved on it. André was lying on the bed closest to the door. Compared to the other two bodies, there wasn't a huge amount of blood, but police did know 30 to 40 small nicks in his chest. His glasses were perfectly perched on his nose with a book in his hand. He seemed to have died peacefully, which was strange, considering the horrific state of the room.
The police found three passports in the hotel room, so the bodies were identified quickly. The man in the hallway was Thomas Kaufmann, a 35-year-old German-born man who had been living in Switzerland. The woman on the floor was Nadja Wersch, a 24-year-old Swiss woman who was due to turn 25 in just 2 days. And the man on the bed was André Oschwanden, 35 years old and also from Switzerland. André and Nadja, the two people found inside the hotel room. They were both hearing impaired and they had planned this trip, a 2-week excursion visiting many of the major cities in Canada, as part of a travel group for the hearing impaired. According to police, André had a long-standing romantic interest in Nadja, but apparently she didn't feel the same way.
The guy in the hallway, Thomas Kaufmann, was a last-minute addition to the trip. He and Nadja had started dating recently, and Nadja decided she wanted to bring him along. They would all be staying in the same hotel room together. André apparently agreed to this agreement because he didn't want to lose the money he had deposited for this trip. As it would turn out, this was a recipe for disaster.
All the three of the occupants in room 1908 died that night, so no one will ever know what exactly happened. But the police have a working theory. They believe that Wirsch and Kaufman waited until 3 a.m. when they believed Ashwanden was sleeping and started being intimate. Ashwanden wasn't asleep. As he lay there, humiliated, as the love of his life made love to another man, he snapped. In a fit of jealous rage, he grabbed a knife and embarked on a murderous rampage.
Police came to this theory for several reasons. One, they found a note, written by Ashwanden to his mother, explaining that everyone on the trip was having a great time except him, and he just couldn't take it anymore. The second reason was the hatred with which the knife was plunged all the way through Nadja, indicating the attack was highly personal. And the third reason was Ashwanden's cause of death. It was one of those 30 to 40 nicks on his chest, which police determined were self-inflicted.
They're known as hesitation wounds. Ashwanden was trying to take his own life, but he couldn't bring himself to plunge the knife into his chest. So he gave up. He started reading and waited for the police to come. Little did he know that one of these hesitation wounds went just deep enough to nick his own heart, causing him to slowly bleed out before police arrived.
For Toronto police, solving this murder was extremely important. The recent murders of two Canadian citizens in Mexico while they were on vacation had had a tremendous impact on the tourism industry in that country, and here were three dead European tourists in a Toronto hotel. The city wanted to protect its reputation as a safe destination for travelers, so there was pressure on the police to solve this quickly and quietly. They canvassed the hotel, and guests said that they heard blood-curdling screams, arguments, and extreme violence. But there was no tourist killer on the loose here in Toronto. This story was just a twisted love triangle that ended in tragedy. When passion turns to jealousy, and jealousy turns to rage, the results can be horrific, as evidenced by the scene in that fateful room 1908. And that wraps it up for this episode of Six Murders. Thank you for listening. We all truly love and appreciate your support. Be sure to tune in next week to learn about the tragedy of the Harrison family, a household that was consistently targeted with multiple murders. Until next time, cheers, Toronto.